Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing with Digest. I'm Stephanie Sloan, editorial director, here with Mara Levinsky, executive editor.
Hi, everyone.
Well, Mara, we talked last week about Lamone Archie coming back to Days of Our Lives, and he reappeared this week in a fantastic episode that also included Marla Gibbs as Olivia and Cameron Johnson as Theo, and some solid representation of the Price Carver clans. So we spoke to Lamone for an interview in the new issue, and he says he was so happy to get the call to come back to Salem. He was free at the time because the other show he appears on, All American, was picked up for a season 6, but production has been delayed because of the writer's strike. So it freed up Lamone's schedule a bit in terms of shooting, and he picked up Eli's badge once again. So Lamone got to work with Bill Hayes and Susan Seaforth Hayes, who play his on-screen grandparents, Doug and Julie. And he says it's his pleasure to do that whenever he has the chance. Plus, I think it's adorable. He emails with them from time to time to check in. And also as part of this story, we're going to see the return of Terrell Ransom Jr., who played Theo as a boy from 2008 to 2015. But he will be playing a character named Jerry, who is now tied to Nurse Whitley. And I think it is such a fun twist and will be so wild to see him all grown up.
I honestly could not love that casting more. Like, I remember how sad a lot of fans were when Theo was originally aged. And I think it's so cool that they figured out a way to incorporate him back into the show. I just think that's going to be such a treat for longtime viewers and for me. Now, GH is doing another throwback of sorts with the character of Ned sustaining an injury at the MetroCorp pool and waking up believing himself to be Eddie Main. The original Eddie Main story, which is such a classic, kicked off in 1993 when Ned adopted Eddie as a stage persona and also introduced himself to his future wife Lois as Eddie Main, and then had sort of a double life going, replete with two wives, Lois and Catherine Bell. The timing of Ned's accident was imperfect for him and everyone who loves him, but absolutely perfect for Nina, because Ned's memory loss means that her secret about sicking the SEC on Carly and Drew is safe for now. We have a story with Wally Kurth, who plays Ned slash Eddie, in the new issue, previewing the efforts that Nina will make this coming week to encourage Eddie to leave town. And another story that really has gotten fans talking is the sad loss of Sally and Adam's baby on YNR. Courtney Hope has been doing such a beautiful job with that tragic twist. And we also have an interview with her in the new issue where she shares what her reaction was to finding out that the baby wasn't going to survive, and also talks about her approach to playing those really dramatic scenes.
You know, I was truly blown away by the performances of both Courtney Hope and Mark Grossman, who plays Adam, in those scenes. They were just so raw and emotional, and it really made it feel real. You know, I imagine those are days that are difficult to shake off, and Courtney certainly addresses that in the story you're talking about. Now, as for the Eddie Main twist, I mean, I just could not love it more. I think it is so clever when shows reach back into their own history to come up with current tales. I mean, how fabulous would it be if Rena Sofer reprised the role of Lois? I have such great memories of L&B Records, the relationship with Lois and Brenda, the Eddie and Lois romance. I mean, I could go on. Bottom line, I consider it a gift to longtime fans to bring Eddie back into the mix, and I couldn't be more here for it. Now, attention to fans of YNR Skyle. That's Summer and Kyle. Kyle is going to sleep with Audra. Mm-mm. That is going to be a huge moment, and I can't imagine how it's going to go over, but I know it will be juicy. And we previewed Bold and Beautiful's trip to Rome in a recent issue, and now those episodes are playing out, and wow, they did not disappoint. So first of all, the show made such excellent use of all of Rome's hotspots. I really am getting a feel for the city just by watching. I mean, I was in Rome once in 1990, but the memories are, you know, kind of vague today. So this is really a treat. But never mind the dynamics at play between Ridge and Brooke and Thomas and Hope's surprise kiss at the Colosseum that Liam spied. I mean, talk about international drama.
Oh my gosh. You know, there was a part of me that wondered if the show was actually going to go there with Thomas and Hope, like, or if we were just going to, you know, kind of stay in a bit of an endless middle where she was nursing these erotic feelings, but not acting on them. So the fact that a kiss actually happened and that she initiated it and that Liam saw it, I was like, yes, yes, and yes. Which, by the way, was also my response when, after years of celibacy and pining for Curtis, even after he married someone else, my girl Jordan on GH finally got some action with Zeke. Which is one of the many reasons that I'm so very, very excited to converse today with our guest, Tanisha Harper, who took over the role of Jordan last year and just had her first love scene.
Well, I'm pretty excited about it too. So let's get her on the line and see how it's all going. Hi, Tanisha.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's a gorgeous day in Los Angeles. Finally, it's been so gloomy. And now we're at the start of like June gloom's over and it's sunny every day. So I'm happy.
I love that for you. It's a little overcast in New York, but looking okay.
All right. All right.
Now, we have never met, so I do not know a lot about you, but I'm very excited to get to know more about you. But we're going to start with that you were born in Tokyo, Japan. So how did your parents come to live there?
I was born in Tokyo, Japan. My father was a major in the Air Force. And after my parents graduated from college, I believe they moved to Tokyo very soon after that. And my father was stationed there. They were there for quite some time. They had me, my brother. I also have a brother who's about 9.5 years older than me. They had me there. And then we moved to California and then to Arizona, where my family still resides, in Phoenix, Scottsdale area.
How young were you when your family moved back to the States? Like, young enough that you don't have memories of living in Japan, or do you have childhood memories there?
I really don't. I was still very, very young. So I have no childhood memories. Most of those memories are from my parents still have all of the furniture they bought in Japan, and it's like in pristine condition. So that my parents' household is very influenced by Japanese culture. So I see that, you know, around. I see the pictures from when I was little, my little outfits and kimonos and all that good stuff. But I don't really remember much, but I do get back there as often as I can. So
that's great. Well, tell us about the summers you spent with your grandmother and how they sparked your interest in fashion.
Yes. So I have my father's mother, my grandmother. She was always very much into fashion, and she is one of the chicest women I know. She is just absolutely fabulous. And I was always so fascinated by her when I was growing up. And I would spend my summers with my grandmother, my grandfather, for my summer vacations as a child. And so as a project, we would always go. She was very good at sewing. And so she would say, look in the magazines. And if you see something you like, let's make it. And she could make anything. So I would get my little, you know, magazines, whether it was something like a Teen Vogue or whatever. And I would look through and I'd find these cute little outfits. And then she and I would make them together, where she mostly did it, but we would make them. And there were always these fabulous little outfits. I'd want a little sailor outfit with a hat. There was always a hat. There was always some sort of accessory or purse or whatever that we'd get to go, that we'd make to go with the outfits. And it was just kind of a fun project that we would do. She also modeled on the side as well for some of the department stores. I'd go and watch her do these fashion shows, and she would, you know, they live in Alabama. So I would drive up to Atlanta with her and go to Neiman Marcus and all the big fancy shops, and she'd pick out all of her fabulous clothes. And it was just fun for me. I loved it. And, you know, that's kind of what sparked my interest in fashion at the time.
So here you are, the interest is sparked. And then, as luck would have it, you were discovered in Phoenix as a model. So how did that happen?
Yeah, so I'd actually never thought about being a model. I was always into the fashion design aspect of it. So I loved that part because I think with my grandmother and us making these outfits, that was really where I thought I would go. Something to do with fashion, whether it was a designer or whatnot. And I happened to be in the mall. I think I was with my mom or some friends, and a woman, she owned a modeling agency in Phoenix, and came up to me. And I think some of the models in her that were doing the fashion show were from her agency. And she was like, "Oh, do you model?" I was like, "No." She's like, "Would you want to?" I'm like, "No, I'm going to be a fashion designer." She's like, "Oh, well, you should consider it. It's a great way to get into the industry." And she gave me her card. I told my mother. My mother was like, "No, I don't think that's like a good thing for you to do," because she had a bad stigma about models. You know, she's like, "Oh, they just, you know, they end up doing drugs and this and that. It's just not, you know, the thing." And so the woman called and tried to convince my mother for us to come in, just, you know, see what it's about. And we went in, and my mother, you know, considered it, and she's like, "I'm not sure." And I remember a big client had, she had, the agent had taken a photo of me, a Polaroid, when I went in for the meeting. And she had sent it off to Nike, and they called my mother and they said, "Well, you know, she's been considered by Nike for this campaign." And it was, you know, to do the print work and to be the face of whatever they had going on at the time. And I would go do all these shows. And when my mom saw how much money I was going to make, she's like, "Well, this is not bad. Okay, she can do it." And then off I went. And that was kind of how it started. And then my career within fashion just kind of progressed from there.
Wow. Well, you were a teenager. I mean, what was that like at school? Like, were kids jealous? Like, here you were doing Nike commercials or like Nike ads.
It was interesting because it all happened so quickly. Once I did that, then all of a sudden I started doing, there was a department store. I don't know if it's still around, but it was called Dillard's, and it was very popular then. And they based all of their photo shoots out of there. So I started doing every photo shoot for Dillard's and all the in-store posters and everything and their billboards. So I was everywhere, but I never talked about it at school. I never brought it up. I was never really into that kind of attention. I liked doing it because for me, I saw it as a way that I'd be able to get into fashion designing or be able to use that money to travel and do whatever it was that I wanted to do. So I kind of was not embarrassed, but, you know, a bit shy about it. So I never said anything to anybody. And if people saw me like, "Oh, we saw a billboard that you're in," I'd be like, "Oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about." So I tried to hide it, but it kind of became once I started doing a lot of things, it was kind of clear. But, you know, sometimes I would have to leave school to go and do my jobs. And I just never wanted that attention. I didn't want people to be like, "Oh, she's getting special attention because she's going off to do this or that." So I tried to hide it as much as possible, but eventually people figured it out. But the kids were... They thought it was cool. I think they liked it. They thought it was neat. I guess it's always kind of exciting when you see someone you go to school with kind of everywhere, but I was pretty nonchalant about it. So
do you look back on all of that as a positive experience, you know, modeling as a teen? Like, is it something that you would choose to do again if you got a do-over?
Absolutely. I believe modeling helped to shape me, as a person. It helps me become independent. I had to spend a lot of days traveling on my own at a very young age. You grow up very quickly and you learn to be self-sufficient. And I think those were very important. And also you get to travel. So you get to see the world and it's a constant learning experience. So I believe that it was a great experience and I would do it again. I like the way that I did it. I think that there are different ways you can get into the modeling industry. One thing, my mother was always a stickler, making sure that I finished my education before I went off and, you know, tackled the modeling industry as a full-time career. So that meant you're not going to be pulled out of high school to go off to do a modeling career. which numerous times they tried to get us to do, which is very, very common. Girls will leave school 14, 15, 16 and go off on their own to model. My parents were not with that. And I also had to finish college as well. So I thought, well, maybe, you know, once I really started getting into it and I saw the potential, I thought, well, I don't need to go to college. I mean, I'm already making a great career, making a great living. And my mother was like, hey, do whatever you want to do. You just have to get this college degree so you have something to fall back on. And then you can continue your modeling full time and do whatever it is that you want to do. So I like the path that I did at the time. I probably didn't, you know, like that. But in hindsight, I think that was the best way for me. And it was a great experience. I really enjoyed it. And I got a lot of free clothes and I got to travel the world and shoot in the most fabulous places and meet the most interesting people. And it really was an eye opener for me, especially coming from, I mean, Phoenix, Scottsdale's not a small town by any means, but it's definitely not New York or LA. So, you know, I definitely got to broaden my horizons through that industry.
Well, after you graduated from college, you went straight to LA and you've described it as sort of a rite of passage for modeling agents to send their clients out on acting auditions. And they did that with you. So was that the first time you'd really thought about acting?
Absolutely. That had never crossed my mind, just as the modeling had never crossed my mind. Because in my head, I was like, I'm going to be a fashion designer. And then actually after that, I thought I was going to be a doctor because I come from a family full of academics. And so they still never quite understood the fashion and entertainment worlds. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, you know, maybe I'm going to go and be a doctor. And I started the program and quickly I realized, wait a second, this modeling thing's pretty lucrative. I'm going to stick with that. Moved to Los Angeles after college and continued with the modeling. And one day they asked me to audition for The Bold and the Beautiful. And that was, you know, a soap opera that had a lot of models on it. And so they're like, this one, you're going to have a speaking role because they're looking for somebody that can also act. And I'm like, well, I've never done this before. They're like, well, just try. Then ended up booking it. And I was like, this is kind of fun. Like, I like being in front of the camera, having a voice. I think that was exciting for me because I always had something to say, but within the modeling world, you really don't get to speak a lot. It's just pose, you know, create these emotions in a picture. So I loved that. And then they kind of just throw you into it. They're like, oh, okay, well, you got something else. Let's try this. And that was kind of how the acting started to take off because I just kept getting into these little situations where they're like, oh, okay, well, she was able to do this. Try this show or this movie or whatever. So and I kept booking the auditions and somehow it led me to here.
Well, back in those modeling days, you crossed paths and became friendly with two future Days of Our Lives stars, Lamone Archie and Sal Stowers. What do you remember about Lamone and Sal from back in the day?
Oh my gosh, yeah. We all modeled together. We were all with LA Models and, you know, doing the grind. We LA Models had this runway division, which the agent was a woman named Krista, and she was the one who booked us on the TV shows as well. So we all kind of would work together doing, you know, random bit parts and shows and traveling, doing all these fashion shows and print jobs and runway. And it was fun. And then I remember they both got on to that show. I think I was working on something different at the time, or maybe a different show at the time. But that was kind of the thing. Everybody had their hands in television or film in some kind of form, but I am still friends with them. And I'm actually very good friends with Lamone's ex that he was with for a while. So we're very close. So yeah.
Very nice. Well, your first series regular job was in 2006 playing Heather on Desire, which was a primetime telenovela that I watched. What was your experience on set like?
That was fun. I mean, I think that was really where I got my feet wet within acting because we spent about, I think it was maybe 3 or 4 months filming nonstop in San Diego. And it was kind of my acting class. It was where I learned. We were on set all day, every day. And it was fun. It was different. I had no clue what I was doing or what to expect. So it was definitely a learning curve and a learning process. But, you know, I wouldn't trade that for the world. It was a really great experience. And that was really the kind of introduction into the acting world for me.
Now, who from General Hospital was a castmate of yours on Desire?
Josh Kelly. Yeah, that was actually both of our first series regular roles on TV. So it was very exciting when I saw him. We ran into each other in the hallway at General Hospital, and he's like, "Tanisha." No, he says, "Miss Harper." And I'm like, "Wait a second." I'm like, "Josh?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Wait, what are you doing here?" He's like, "Well, I'm on the show, I think." I'm like, "Wait, what?" So that was very exciting. It's always so nice to have a familiar face, especially somebody who you both started at the same time and we went through the same things together and confusion and like, what are we doing? And then, you know, kind of building our characters on the show. So it's like a nice comforting feeling, you know, like now many years later, I won't date ourselves, but yeah.
So in 2009, you lived in New York for a time and appeared as one of the models on Project Runway. And when you were cast on GH, that's where I knew you from. Like, I was such a Runway stan that I knew your face very, very well. I've never missed an episode.
I love it.
I also watched the, I can't remember what the name of it was, but the secondary show about the models that you were
models in. Models of the Runway.
Models of the Runway.
Yes.
So tell us about your Project Runway era.
That was really fun. We filmed that in Los Angeles. That I think was the only season they filmed in Los Angeles. Mm. Again, that was a job that I got through LA Models. And that was a lot of fun. It was, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I'd never done a reality show. They were really kind of a new thing at the time. And especially having the Models of the Runway, the secondary show that just focused on what the models were doing. Because you had Project Runway where, you know, it was mostly focusing on the designers and we were there to wear the clothes. And then you have the Models of the Runway where it was, you know, following our lives when we weren't filming Project Runway. And it was definitely a lot of fun. It was interesting. But the great part I got out of it was friendships. I have, I think, like two or three girls from the show are my very best friends still to this day, which is very exciting and fun and interesting just to see how our careers have turned out from now and what we're doing in our lives. But the show was great. It was fun. Gosh, it was so long ago.
Not for me, it wasn't. It feels like yesterday.
Yes, and it was. But yeah, it was fun. It's interesting always how they try and get certain emotions out of people. I think when I was on the show, I was so fascinated by that, watching the producers, how they could, you know, try and trick some of the girls into being really upset about something so they would confront somebody else. And I just found that so fascinating. I'm like, oh, this is how you create the drama. And you've got a bunch of young girls in their early 20s or late teens with high emotions. It was just, you know, drama all the time. But, you know, I always kind of sat back and watched. I found it so amusing, but it was, it was fun. You know, I had some really great experiences to, you know, go to New York. And that was my first time walking a runway in New York. And so that was really fun. And, you know, meeting Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn and Nina, and they were all amazing. And a lot of the people who worked on the show as the stylist, or they worked for Marie Claire magazine, I worked with over and over and over after that show, whether it was shooting for Marie Claire or working with some of the stylists that are on the show that are now big TV personalities themselves. So yeah, it was great. Opened a lot of doors.
That's really cool.
Well, without naming names, was there ever a time where you're like putting on an outfit or they're fitting you for one of the dresses or whatever, and you're like, yeah, I'm probably going home on this, or like, I'm probably going home on this?
You know, to be honest, I can't really remember when I worked with any of the other designers. I worked with Althea Harper the majority of the time, and I believe maybe twice I worked with a different person. And I, to be honest, I can't even remember what they put me in, but I just remember everything that I did with Althea, I loved. Mm-hmm. I felt like she and I just got each other, and she really listened to my input and made, you know, to help make it my own. So I always felt really good in all the outfits that we did, because I felt like it was a collaboration between the two of us. So I loved everything that we did together. And if I worked with somebody else, I probably didn't love it that much.
My project runway expertise might be a little bit rusty, but I feel like that was the juncture of the show where it was like, this is also a competition for the models. And,
oh, yeah. Right?
And they like paired. And that's all by the wayside, Tanisha. What up? What up with that?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's why they had you collaborate primarily with, you know, one particular designer.
Absolutely, yeah. They always tried to shake it up, but somehow I always got back with mine. It was interesting, but, you know, it worked.
And am I remembering correctly that Tim Gunn made some sort of very positive impression on your mom?
Yes. Oh, she loved him. He was so lovely to her. She talked about him for days. I think my mom just loves anytime someone's very complimentary about me. And so I think he came up to her and said a bunch of nice things about me. And so, of course, my mom was like, oh, that Tim Gunn, he is fabulous. I love him. He's amazing. And I'm like, of course you do, because he said a bunch of nice things about me, Mom. But he was really, he really is a great guy.
Well, there's this period of time where you've got the modeling going on, you've got acting starting, and then you're also producing and writing and working for a magazine. So tell us about some of the other endeavors that you were involved in during that period. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I was working on production on a couple of different shows. They were reality based. One was about young women in business that were, you know, entrepreneurs doing their doing jobs like, you know, working as an editor of a magazine or, you know, running some sort of company for products or whatever. So that was a project that I'd worked on. And there was another one that was in development. Unfortunately, the production company I worked for at the time, which I will not name, but one of the biggest, they went under due to some bad things. But but it was a really great experience being able to create and develop shows that I felt were very important. I was always about highlighting women and doing careers that we might not always highlight. You know, you see that in reality television. It's, you know, it's modeling, it's this and that. And I really wanted to show, you know, women doing these different types of careers. And so those were some projects I was very proud of, and that was exciting. I also was a writer. I was an editor of a magazine called Living, which is still around. And I wrote and edited for that magazine, which I loved. Writing was always a passion of mine, which I had done since I was young, and I was a massive storyteller. So I really enjoyed that. And I would write about different celebrities or destinations and locations, traveling, whatever it was, fashion, a lot of fashion. And I also was a TV host. And it was great because Lifetime Network, the network Project Runway's on at the time, allowed me to showcase my hosting skills. And I was able to host a few segments of the show as well as I hosted many, 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 many different shows, whether it was on television or online streaming platforms. A lot of them related to fashion. I would go to different fashion weeks, and I had my own little shows I would host. And that was a really, really great experience. I loved it. Another path I thought I might go into, being a TV host, but the acting kept pulling me away from all of it. So.
Well, at a certain point of living this multi-hyphenate life you were living, you kind of made the decision to focus in more on your acting career. Mm-hmm. So what brought that about, and what did that look like for you when you said, okay, I'm going to get serious about this path?
Absolutely. Because I had, when, you know, I had started doing the acting, like I said, I had done that first soap opera for Bold and the Beautiful, then Desire. I had done a movie called Something New, which was my first film that I had done. And I was really thinking, oh, wow, this is something that I can do. It's fun. I like it. It gets to be very interactive. And during that time, like we just discussed, I was also doing the producing, doing the TV hosting, as well as modeling. And I was doing all of it at once. And I was getting really burnt out because I was traveling back and forth. I'm writing while I'm on the plane. I'm shooting in between takes. I'm trying to do everything. And then I'm filming a show at the same time. So they're filming me doing this and that. And it was a lot. And I got really, really burnt out. And one day, I think I had a talk with my agent at the time. And it was like, okay, we need to dial it back. And you're burning yourself out. Maybe it's time that you seriously think about what it is that you really want to do and focus on that. You know, there's a time and a place when you can kind of do it all, but I was still quite young at the time, and I was probably in my late 20s and just trying to do the most and trying to do it all. And so I had to really think about what is it that I want to do right now and that I can focus my full attention on 100% and do it to the best of my ability. And so it was a hard decision to make, but I decided to step away from the acting in part because I felt I needed to get a little more experience, whether that was taking more courses in acting and coaching and all of that to make sure that I was 100% prepared when I went onto these sets, because I did find at times, because the modeling gave me the in into acting, I would go into these auditions and I would see people who had, you know, they've been taking classes for years and they have studied this and it's their craft and this is what they do. And then here I come in and I'm like, oh, you know, like come in. I didn't take it as seriously as they did. And I remember sitting down one day and I'm in an audition and for a film and I see how serious everybody was. And for me, I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to go in. If I get it, I get it, whatever. And I thought about it and I was like, you know, if this is something I really want to do, I want to make sure that when I'm going up and I'm auditioning and I'm competing against these people that, you know, we're on this kind of same playing field. We're all prepared. We're all doing this because we are so passionate about it. Because I would feel guilty if I did book that job, knowing that somebody has worked so hard and prepped themselves the way you should to go into these auditions to get these jobs. And then, you know, if they didn't get it and I did, I kind of had this guilt. So I thought, you know, I'm going to put the acting aside and, you know, I continue to focus on just on the modeling. And then I finally had a day where I was like, all right, I'm done with the modeling. I've turned over a new leaf. I want to get back into acting. So I'm going to do everything I can do to be prepared so I feel confident when I go into to audition. And that was what I did. And then I decided to solely focus on the acting and did that. And now I'm here.
Okay. So let's get into GH. So now you didn't know at first that the role you were auditioning for was a recast. Is that correct?
Correct. I didn't know that it was even for the police commissioner whatsoever. So when I went into audition for the role, it was to play a district attorney.
Similar, but different.
Yes.
So the casting process for Jordan, or I believe Danielle was what you thought she was called at the time.
Yes.
Began with you submitting a tape, a self tape. And obviously you nailed that because you were invited to do a screen test. And you told me that you worked on the material for that with your acting coach, who just so happens to be Holly Gagné. And for those listening who aren't familiar with Holly, she's formerly Ivy on Days and Cassie on One Life to Live. And she played Jennifer Smith on GH. So when did you start working with Holly?
So I actually started working with Holly once I booked the job on General Hospital. So I worked with a different acting coach when I was auditioning for it. I worked with a different acting coach when I was auditioning. And then when I booked the job, they said, okay, you should probably work with Holly to prepare yourself because, you know, I had no clue the amount of dialogue and episodes that you would film in a week or in a day. So they were like, she is the best to help you prepare for this mentally and to develop your character, because it did come as a shock once I did book the role. And then, you know, I find out a week prior to filming that I'm actually going to be playing the police commissioner. And so it's a different mindset. It's a different, it's a whole different ballgame. So, you know, working with her really helped me to develop the character, and also too, just of learning the pace at what they, of how they film and how they do it, because I hadn't worked, on a soap opera in many, many, many years. And it was much different than when I did an episode of Bold and the Beautiful or when I was on Desire. I mean, that was many years prior. So it was learning all over again. And she was very, very helpful with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, who did you do your screen test with? And what do you remember about that day?
Hey, well, my screen test was with Dominic Zampronia and Finola Hughes. And they were fantastic. I was actually supposed to do the screen test with Donnell Turner, but he wasn't able to make it. So Dominic stepped in and they were great, which it actually was wonderful because I do film with both Dominic and Finola often. And they were great. She was absolutely wonderful. I remember after finishing the screen test, she grabbed my hand and kind of shook. And she was like, that was great. And I was like, you sure? She's like, oh yeah. She was like, that was great. And they were wonderful. I couldn't have asked for better people to work with. And I love working with them to this day. They're wonderful. And then Frank directed it. And so that was fun too. But it was good. Great experience.
Sorry. So you book the job and then you find out not only who you were really, really playing, like you basically got stripped of a law degree and the commissioner. And you also learned that there had been two Jordans prior to you coming onto the campus. So that's a lot of information to try to assimilate. You know, what was your reaction to learning that?
Yeah, my reaction to learning that there were two Jordans prior to me was, okay, great. How do I start Googling to find out, you know, what they've done, how they did it? And I remember Frank Valentini, our producer, saying, you know, we just want you to make the character your own. So just do, you know, what you did in your audition, and then that's it. So I thought about that. And I decided, okay, I'm not going to Google and try to see how they did it, which I'm glad they didn't, because I think what, you know, they really wanted was somebody to come in with their own twist. They had two wonderful actresses who played the characters to perfection in their own ways. And so it was time for me to come in and play this character in another way, in another unique way, to give the fans another perspective of Jordan. And so that's what I tried to do, and just ignored the fact that two other people had played it before. And, you know, that's not always easy. In the beginning, when I first started, of course, the fans didn't take to me too much. They, you know, they want the old Jordan, whichever Jordan that it was. And, you know, it's all a learning process. And I remember some of the other actors on the show were saying, you know, that they'll come around, the fans will come around, they'll eventually like you, just make it your own. And that's one thing that Dominic's always said to me. He's like, just make it your own, be yourself, you know, don't worry about what anybody else did before you. Just make it your own. The fans are going to come around and they will eventually love you. He's like, it just takes time. Yeah. You know, so you're going into a medium of television where the fans have been there for decades. So just got to be patient.
Right. Good advice. Now I get such a kick out of this, but you were a huge Passions fan in college. And of course was a huge fan of the character of Whitney Russell, played by Brooke Kerr, who is now General Hospital's Portia. So when did you realize that you were going to be working with Whitney Russell?
I think my first day I got there and saw we had scenes together. It was, I think she had just started, or maybe they just started dating, or they were about to move in together or something like that. And I remember I overheard them talking about it and I walk in on them, and that was kind of like my first days on the set. And I remember when we did our rehearsal and I saw her, I was like, ooh, I'm like, that is my homegirl from Passions, because Passions was my show in college. My college roommate and I would race home from our classes, or either if we had a class during that time, we would leave early just so we could go and watch this show. We absolutely loved it. And I loved her. I you know, looked up to her, thought she was great. And she's been amazing. I just adore her. She's so nice. She was so helpful when I first started. Anything you need, I am here for you. You know, I can help you with anything. We can always run lines. Please feel like you can always come to me. And, you know, that's always nice when you're first starting. It's like, you know, you're starting a new job, your first day. And she was so welcoming. Brooke Kerr was so welcoming. Just adore her. She's great. And, you know, I've learned a lot from her, from working with her, because we have a lot of scenes together. I really admire her work ethic and really how she gets into her characters and the way she does her adjustments. You know, I'm always watching and learning from her. She's a fantastic actress, and just adore her. And I'm honored and grateful to be able to work, you know, beside her.
obviously, you know, the dynamic with Jordan and Portia tends to be more tense than not, but what is more fun to play around with her? Like when they're seeing eye to eye and getting along and being sisterly, cordial, or when they're at, you know, a little more at each other's throats?
You know, I think that she and I talk about it often. You know, we would prefer not to see each other at each other's throats all of the time. Having, you know, two Black girls bickering on the show, that's not necessarily the dynamic we want to portray on the show, but it makes for good television. And I have to say, because our relationship outside of the show is very friendly and happy, and it's like, you know, your girl, your sister. So when we're playing at odds on the show, it does make it more fun, I think, because she is a very, very, very sweet person. And so when we're kind of bickering and, you know, back and forth with each other, it does make it fun, because we really are having to play these characters. Like, you know, we're really not playing ourselves. I think if it was us being friends, it'd be like, oh, we're just playing ourselves. So, you know, we really have to come at a show. She's the sweetest person ever. So us having to bicker and fight on the show, I think that makes it more fun. So I do enjoy those scenes, and those are kind of the scenes that people love. So, uh-huh. I think we're going to be sticking to it.
Well, when you look back on your first few weeks and months on the show, you know, what did you find challenging about finding your footing in the job, and who were the people in the cast that helped you out?
Oh, the thing that was most challenging for me was just the pace at which it moved. It moves so fast on a soap opera set. It's unbelievable. You know, coming from, I had been doing different television shows before that. And, you know, you get 10 takes to do one scene. Let's do it 5 times from the front and then 5 times from this angle. And, you know, it's, you could spend a whole day doing one scene. We're doing often, you know, 60, 70 scenes a day. And, you know, obviously not one person's doing that many, but, you know, I could do sometimes 10, 15 scenes in a row, and it moves quick. You know, they want to get these scenes done and, you know, one take, maybe two, and then like, let's keep it moving. So that was, I think, the biggest kind of challenge for me in the beginning, was just getting used to that pace. And when you're trying to get used to that pace and remember your lines and then make sure you're not standing in someone's light or blocking their light and making sure that you're on camera one or camera three, and then make sure you pick up the cup at the exact moment that you're supposed to, that's halfway through saying that word, and then you have to turn around. It's a lot to process and digest when you're filming. I've gotten so used to it now that now it's kind of one of those second natures. Now it's just, you know, you don't even think about it. You just know. And but that took me some time for my brain to put together. And that was very challenging for me. And when you're thinking about all those things, that's when you start to, you know, maybe forget your lines because you're so worried about what's going on. So I had some of those challenges when I started initially. Which I've figured out, thankfully. but yeah, that I think was the biggest challenge for me when I first started. And everybody had been so welcoming and so helpful. Everyone wanted to see me succeed. And I think that's the great part about everyone on this show. You know, they succeed when you succeed, and vice versa. You know, we all can make a great show together if we work together. So everyone had been wonderful. I mean, initially working with Donnell and Brooke, they were very welcoming. Dominic, Finola, who's lovely. She's so sweet. It was my birthday. She gave me a birthday card. I'm like, you are wonderful. You know, I barely know me. I just came on the show. But always very helpful in giving me tips and guidance. On, you know, just navigating the show, and they've been amazing. And I'm very grateful to all of them for, you know, being patient and then helping me out. And
all right. Well, what was more shocking to you when you came aboard, Tanisha, that you were not a district attorney, but in fact were a police commissioner, or that you had a son old enough to be a doctor?
I think probably having the son that was old enough to be a doctor, because that was one thing the fans really couldn't get over. They thought we looked like brother and sister, and that I, you know, couldn't be his mother, when in fact I actually could in real life, but we were going off of that. But yeah, so I think that was one thing that was kind of shocking. I was excited to, you know, play a mother and have a son on the show. I think that was, you know, a nice and a different kind of challenge for me as an actress to portray a mother and try to make it as believable as possible. But yeah, I mean, my character is very proud of him. He's a doctor, so.
Well, tell us about the actor who plays him, Taj Bello.
Yes, Taj is an absolute sweetheart. I love working with him as well. He is very dedicated and passionate, and you know, he's been on the show for quite some time. So he also sometimes we'll go off and we'll have, you know, lunch or dinner or something, and we'll just chat and about the show and about our experiences. And it's great to be able to learn from him, which is hilarious because I'm playing his mom, but I'm learning things from him. But you know, you've been in the business for a while on the show. But he's great. Just adore him.
So as police commissioner, Jordan was quite involved in the sex tape drama that saw Trina standing trial last year for a crime that she did not commit. And for better or for worse, it comes with the territory of being part of a soap opera police department that you're probably not going to be doing much actual crime solving. Yeah. So this is a very difficult question to have to ask you, Tanisha, but on a scale of 1 to 10, please rate Jordan's crime solving performance in that particular case.
Oh gosh, I was like a 2. I mean, is Jordan ever solving a crime? I don't know. Poor Jordan, but she looks good while she's out there doing it.
That's true enough.
Yeah, that the whole revenge porn. I I was out there running around, but I still think about that. Like, did Jordan solve anything? Did she come up to any conclusions? Did she figure anything out? It seems like everybody else is always figuring everything out, but you know, Jordan's there. Yeah. She's overseeing.
She means well. She sure means well.
She means well.
Well, we found out last year that Jordan and Curtis's divorce had not gone through thanks Aunt Stella and some bad timing with her health. But we always love it when Renee Watson pops in as Stella. So tell us about working with her.
Oh, Renee is just fantastic. I love working with her. And she and I have had several scenes, just the two of us together. And I just like watching her. I like watching her whole process of how she thinks about things, and she talks to the director, the questions she asks. And, you know, clearly she is, you know, extremely talented and probably, you know, one of the most seasoned actors I've worked with. And I learn a lot from her, and I just love watching her process. I love the questions she asks are things that I keep in my memory, because I'm like, you know, these are things I should be asking. Things I should be concerned about when filming. And she's great. And I love it. She comes in my dressing room and we'll go over the sides. You know, often sometimes some people like to go over the scenes before we film, and some just don't, or they don't care, whatever. And I love that with her. She, every time she wants to go over it and go over it and go over it. And I love that because it only makes our scenes better. And I really appreciate that when someone wants to, you know, work with you and make it the best scenes that we can do, because we do have little time to rehearse. And once we're on set, it's, you know, one rehearsal and go. So I love that about her. She'll run lines with me as long as we possibly can before, you know, we get on that set. But she's great. She's funny. She is very, very funny. I really, really like her. She's fantastic.
So obviously, you know, you didn't play the courtship that the fans saw with Jordan and Curtis. You took over when he moved on with Portia. She was still harboring feelings for him. So how did you make sense of her, you know, having trouble fully letting go of Curtis? And also tell us a little bit about working with his portrayer, Donnell.
Yeah, you know, because when I started, I was just thrown right into that. And so each actor, when I first started, they had to give me their history in about 30 seconds with my character. So when I went to work with them, Donnell and Brooke kind of, you know, gave me what my history was and what was going on and how we used to be married. I didn't know any of this before I started. I had no clue. Holly did, when I did work with her, she did kind of give me a backstory of, you know, a lot of the characters in my relationship with them. But really, you know, I needed to hear it from the people who were playing the characters. So that whole dynamic between Curtis and I, which was interesting, I played most of this past year, me kind of chasing after Curtis and Brooke, and I'm always following them, lurking around some corner, overhearing things they're talking about. Once I started to really understand that dynamic, I kind of just played it as, okay, I am, you know, this strong woman who is over the ex. I'm focusing on my career and all of that. But deep down inside, there's still that unfinished kind of business between the two of us, that love that's still there. But I've accepted that he's moved on. But at the same time, I kind of, in the back of my mind, I think, you know, if there was an opportunity for us to be together, I wouldn't shy away from it, which everybody saw in the last, I think, couple of months or whatnot. But working with Donnell is great. Again, he was one of those people that, you know, really talked to me about our relationship, and even still to this day, there'll be things that I might not know, and he'll bring it up like, oh, okay, here's something that you might need to know. This might help you with this scene that you have coming up. So you understand, like, you know, we had this and that going on. And that's just always so helpful too, because I didn't know that. And sometimes when he does that, or Brooke, maybe, because there was that history with both of them prior to me playing Jordan, it's so helpful, because sometimes it'll help me to change the way I was going to do a scene, knowing that little backstory a little more helps it to be a little more believable when we're filming now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've also gotten to see Jordan intersect with the GH legend that is Jeannie Francis's Laura. So first of all, what has Jeannie been like to work with? And also, what did you think of the recent development that Jordan is going to be serving as deputy mayor?
Yes. So Jeannie was one of the first people I filmed with on my first day, which for me was iconic. I did not know much about General Hospital, but when I told people I was going to be on the show, everyone said, Luke and Laura. And I'm like, who's Luke and Laura? They're like, well, Laura, played by Jeannie. And the funny part is these were a lot of guys that were telling me this, because they grew up watching with their parents when they were younger. Well, just the most iconic couple on daytime, you know, history. And Jeannie Francis is an icon. So I looked her up, and then I'm like, well, I'm filming with her on my first day. This is exciting and nerve wracking. And everyone said that she was just the nicest person. I remember Holly, the acting coach, also saying that she was just absolutely lovely. And she really is. She was so sweet, so helpful. She's so natural. And you know, clearly she's been on the show for quite some time and, you know, very patient and just absolutely wonderful. I really like working with her, and it, when I'm working with her, I really, really, really try my best to do my best, because I'm like, oh, I cannot disappoint Jeannie. Not that she would ever feel that way, but, you know, she is just, she's an icon. She's a legend. So, you know, I got to do my best always when I'm around her. And now that I am taking over the role of acting deputy mayor, it's kind of fun. I am just getting started getting into that section right now. But, you know, she's great. I love working with her. The scene we did when she was offering me the position was really fun, because I liked the way we played it out a bit, where she's coming to me saying, you know, I need you to resign. I'm like, wait, what? What's going on? Like, what have I done? It's finally catching up to me that I've never actually caught anybody on as my job as police commissioner. But yeah, so that was a fun little scene, and I'm looking forward to seeing what develops with Jordan as acting deputy mayor.
Indeed, indeed. All right. So I remember very clearly you and I had a conversation for a piece that we did in the magazine, looking forward to 2023. And right there at the top of your wish list, Tanisha, was for Jordan to get involved with some kind of new man.
Yeah.
And GH has checked that box for you. So Gavin Houston is aboard as Zeke. And it was very, very quickly that fans got to see just how strong their chemistry could be. So, like, when did you find out that someone other than Curtis was going to be catching Jordan's eye? And then we want to hear about working with Mr. Gavin Houston.
All right. It's funny. It's like one of those things, careful what you wish for. I'm always like, oh, Frank, when am I going to have a love interest? Man, I'm always complaining, like, what? Jordan never gets any. What's going on? Careful what you wish for, because it's all going to happen at once. I'm like, oh, there's no easing into it. Just going right to the love scene. Okay, got it. So yeah, I thought there would be some sort of long buildup. Oh, I meet someone and we court and all that. Nope, going right in. So good for Jordan. She just went in there and got it. I'm happy for her, finally.
Me too.
But yeah, I first met him when he came to film the episodes for Portia and Curtis's wedding. And I was introduced to him. And that was it, just very briefly. And I was like, huh, because I remember we were, had discussed like, oh, you know, who could be a love interest? And it's kind of one of those fine lines where, you know, you can't have someone too young because I am supposed to be portraying this certain age, but it would look weird if I have someone that's too much older because I don't look like the age I'm portraying. So they were trying to kind of figure that out. And so when I was introduced to him, I thought at the time, I was like, huh, they never introduced me to anybody before on the show. I'm like, I wonder if he could be a potential love interest. And then I had talked to Frank and he was like, well, I don't know if he's going to be or not. Like, I'm not sure. I was like, oh, okay. And that was many, many, many months ago. Like right around the time that he came to film those episodes. And then, I learned very quickly as soon as we were about to film that I was going to have him as a love interest. And I think that was his second day was our love scene, which I was like, oh my goodness, like that way to throw you in there, you know? But Gavin is lovely. He's really, really great. I enjoy working with him. We have great chemistry. He's fun and he really, really takes it seriously. And I love that he's like me. He loves to go over the lines over and over. And he's always so sweet and helpful. He's like, I can help you with other lines than you have with other scenes. I'm like, that's so nice. Thank you. Okay. So he's very helpful that way. He just, you know, he wants to be able to do his best. He's a wonderful actor. And I really enjoy working with him and look forward to seeing what, you know, what else is in store for us.
Now, was it awkward, like sort of right off the bat to have to navigate like, hey, we're like jumping into bed together?
Yeah. You know, I have to say one of those, the thing with modeling that really helps in these kind of situations is that as a model, you're changing everywhere. You're just constantly taking your clothes off in front of people. You're, you know, could be in minimal clothing or swimwear, or whatever, in front of tons of people. So, you know, this was my first love scene on television. And so, you know, he had done them in a previous show that he was on, but I think it's always nerve-wracking, especially when it's like your second day on set. So, you know, it definitely was awkward, but I'm just so kind of the taking off the clothes and doing all that. None of that really bothered me. So I'm like, I'm at a modeling shoot. Here we go. You know, none of that affected me at all. It was just more making sure that he was comfortable and that we were doing it the way that the director wanted it, you know? But you know, it's always a little weird, like knowing that there's a camera just zoomed in right on your thigh or, you know, they're like, okay, now get on top. It's like, okay. You know,
we'll do.
Kiss his belly button. Oh, all right. Let's wait, hold on. Let me get the camera in there. Okay, go. So that part's always strange, but you know, I think we did our best to make each other feel as comfortable as possible. So
well, it was very hot and job well done for both.
Oh, thank you.
Now, in that same interview, Tanisha, I remember the number one thing on your personal to-do list was getting a dog. And that apparently has happened for you in 2023. Am I right?
Yes, you are right. And she is sitting right here. She's so cute. She's napping right now. But I got a dog. Her name is Cosette. And I rescued her. And she's about 10 months old and she's just the best girl ever. She's so good. She's been quiet this whole time while I'm doing this interview, being a sweet baby. And I love her. It like definitely has changed my life. And I like that she's a bigger dog. So we stay active and we go out for our hikes and our runs like three times a day. So I'm very happy to have her. She's my best friend.
I'm so happy for you. When
you're also not working, I know that travel is a big passion of yours. Any big summer plans?
Yes, of course. Gosh, this summer I will be heading to Paris and I am there for about 10 days, which will be great. My best friends live out there and I have a bunch of friends that are coming and birthdays we're celebrating and all that good stuff. And then I'll be going to Greece and I'll be going to Italy and then I'll be going to London and going to go to Wimbledon. And then I'm going to end my travels in Alabama, where my grandmother lives, the one who taught me all about fashion, and she is getting honored by the city she lives in for all of her efforts, charitable efforts in their community. And she's just fabulous. So I'm excited to celebrate her and end my trip that way. So that's what I'll be doing.
That is so awesome. Well, we certainly hope that you enjoy your fabulous summer vacation. And we also hope that you come back to work with plenty of juicy drama to play out in Jordan's life. But yes, before we let you go, is there anything that you would like to say to your fans in the GH audience who are listening?
Oh, to all of the fans who are listening, thank you all for your support and for being so patient with me while you got a new Jordan and watching her grow. It's been such a joy to play her. And I really hope you're enjoying what Jordan is up to now. And I'm excited for you to see what's coming up. And I appreciate all the support when Jordan finally got a man. Everybody was so complimentary and so supportive of that for Jordan. And I really appreciate that because it was time. It was time for Jordan to have some love. And I appreciate all the fans who were supportive and were here for that. So look forward to giving you all some more juicy stuff in the future.
And we certainly look forward to seeing it. It was just so great to chat with you, get to know more about you. And I can't wait to hear about your summer plans. I mean, your summer vacation and take photos so we can run them in the magazine.
Exactly. Absolutely. Thank you both so much. I love a podcast. I love chatting with you ladies. Great way to start my day.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Tanisha Harper for being our guest. If you like this podcast, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to pick up a new issue on sale now and come back next week for another podcast.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.